The Dan and Maz Show. My fellow Australians, it's time for the first meal of the day. And it's a day that starts with S, which means it must be time for your serving of weekend breakfast. So crank your volume up. To a respectable listening level. It is still quite early. It's time for Dan and Maz Weekend. Hooray!
Makes you want to shout. Talk about happiness. That's what we're talking about.
Good morning, legends. It's Dan and Maz Weekend. Dan DeBoof is away this weekend, which means we have the pleasure of Jules Lund for the next two mornings. Hey, Julesy.
I am going to ruin this show for the future because once you've had two mornings of me, Maz, you will never, ever want to go back to Dan.
Jules, we haven't done a show together for a little while. I think we did one maybe a year or so ago.
Yeah. Lots
to catch up on because that's what Weekend Brekkie is all about, is just Dan and I pretty much just play catch-ups for two mornings and then don't see each other for a week.
But I am super excited to chat to your listeners. If there's one thing I love about radio these days, it's hearing the stories. And we've got burning questions, mind the pun. Things this morning.
Literal burning questions.
It is the toughest question that's ever been asked on radio. It is so ambitious and arrogant. But we will ask, what did your burnt toast do?
That is coming out really soon on the show. Jules, we couldn't have you on Dan and Maz Weekends without putting together a compilation of some of your best television work. So here is your official welcome to the Dan and Maz Weekend show.
Introducing Jules Lund.
Welcome to Getaway and welcome to Rwanda.
Some with more impact than others.
All in the ball where contestants earn our respect by donning stupid suits and being smacked by a wall of styrofoam. Yeah, no, I can't believe it either.
You just never know what's going to happen at any time.
This one touching my bum.
That is one of the greatest moments of my life.
It's got a pinch on the bum by a little baby gorilla.
Oh, Jules, I had so much fun watching your hype reel online. It's magical.
A hype reel.
It's the highlights from Getaway and my favourite thing on your resume, Hole in the Wall. And you've done so many wonderful things for Australian entertainment.
Righto. Tomorrow morning, I think I'm going to have to dig up something for you. That is so unfair. It's way too early to be sideswiped and ambushed. Garbage!
Oh, well, it's out of the way now. Up next on the show, as always, we are playing Confused. It's our confusing news game. Yeah, so I tell two news stories from the week, Julesy. Yep. Somebody on 131060, whoever gets through, has to determine which story is made up.
How do you say it?
Confused.
Move on.
No, let's try that again.
Confused.
Yes. Confused. The number is 131060.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
We have Jules Lund filling in for Dan for the weekend. Julesy.
Yeah.
Confused. It's our confusing news segment, and we're doing it now.
Oh, confused. I feel like I need some sinus spray every time I say it. Confused.
We do have Caitlin on 131060 who's going to play this morning. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're great. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Caitlin, what are you doing up so early? Seriously, what are you doing up so early in a position where you feel like ringing a radio station?
I am driving to work.
Okay, awesome.
Oh, good one. Caitlin, do you know how this segment works?
Yes.
Okay, do you want to explain it to Jules?
So I'm guessing it's the same as usual, and I'm listening to two stories and deciding which one's fake and which one's real.
And Caitlin, the most exciting part is no doubt the prize. What do you win? Because I'm not familiar yet.
I'm pretty sure it was 10K.
Okay, great.
From memory.
Absolutely.
Caitlin, I love you already.
It was not 10K, Caitlin. You are well aware that there is just the glory of winning Confused as your prize.
Just as good.
Okay. Caitlin, here is story number one. It could be a case of real-life samurai pizza cats. two police officers and a pizza are receiving praise for their brave rescue of a kitten stuck in a drainage pipe. Officers Jimenez and Corona of the Parlier Police Department in California used a piece of partially eaten pizza to lure the hungry animal from the drain pipes, the department said on their Facebook page. The kitten is now safe and in the care of Parlier Animal Control, according to the police.
There's no way you could have made all that stuff up, Maz. I know you're creative, but just even their last names, what were they again?
No, it was Officers Jimenez and Corona.
Yeah.
Or, Caitlin, is it story number two? A North Carolina man who told police someone dressed as a clown had knocked on his window at night has landed himself in jail on Friday after admitting he fabricated the story. The latest twist in a string of such reported sightings in recent weeks. David Armstrong described to Winston police how he chased the clown into the nearby woods, but authorities said in a statement that he had lied and he was arrested on a charge of filing a false police report.
Why would he do that? That's the bit that's missing. Why he would do that. What's his motivation for saying I chased a clown?
The best bit, it's the latest in a string of such reported
Silly
sightings.
Silly string.
Like, Caitlin. You've heard the two stories. You've heard the two stories. Which story is the fake one?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, come on. Just go on their surnames alone.
Okay, number one.
Number one or number two?
Number one.
Caitlin, you're correct.
What? What?
Do you know what, though?
What happened? Which one was fake?
Oh, no, the clown story is legit.
What?
Like the yes.
Who in this team made up those two clever surnames?
So.
That's no one is smart enough in this team. The second one was just David Armstrong. I thought if you're sitting at a computer making up a story, you're coming up with David Armstrong, you're coming up with Ramirez and Cordio. Like, who in this team?
Do you know what, Jules? To be really honest, the Samurai Pizza Cat story is based on a real story.
Yeah, no one made up those names, did they? They were just ripped from a similar one.
The real story, just so everybody can sleep well tonight, not wondering, those Californian police named Jimenez and Corona.
They were from Detroit, that's it. That's all we tested.
They lured the cat out of the drain pipe with a partially eaten burrito and the little kitten is now in the care of animal welfare people, but one of the officers wants to adopt it and call the kitten Burrito.
And cook it in a burrito.
No, they don't. They absolutely don't want to cook it. Anyway, the point is, Caitlin, well done, girlfriend. You were correct.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Smarter than me, Caitlin. And for that reason, I personally am going to give you 10K.
You so are not. That's so not going to happen.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Julesy, such a treat to have you in the studio, my friend.
Oh, it's so good to be here, though you smell the remnants of burnt toast still in this in this radio station. And the reason being, it's humiliating. Therefore, I don't want to make a big deal out of it for a young girl whose name shall remain anonymous. So Harriet, yesterday, here at the radio station.
Throw her right under that bus.
Has evacuated the entire floor. Would you say, was it the building as well? The whole building.
Yeah, let's say the whole building.
We're on the 15th floor. The 15th.
And we're at the top.
Yeah.
It's going to burn from the top down.
Exactly.
If the building was on fire, which it wasn't, FYI, but just to paint a picture, it could have been.
It is sad to think how many news reporters just jumped out the windows anyway because they live in a sensationalised life. It's simple. I mean, there's just not much more to it. Harriet has put some toast in the toaster.
She put some bread in the toaster.
Oh, that is so accurate. And humiliating.
Definitely. She only put the bread in and then, guess what? The magic toaster does, it turns the bread into toast.
But it turned it into a scorching hot threat. It has burnt the toast to the point where it has caught on fire and all the alarms have gone off and everyone has been evacuated no matter what they were doing. I have no idea what happens when you're on air at the time.
I think if you're on air, you're meant to remain on air. Because
hang on.
There's a duty of care to the listeners, you know? Like, you've got to stay on air.
If it started to burn around me, I'm not talking about Kim Kardashian's fat butt. Like, I'm not. Nothing's that important.
Well, you wouldn't be doing this show, surely.
But so let's look at this, because I understand, and the most important thing to appreciate here is that this wasn't the first time Harriet's burnt the toast.
Oh, okay, so she's a serial offender. Serial.
Ah, breakfast show.
Here comes another pun.
Sorry, Jess, I don't know if you're familiar with our pun alarm, but sometimes it gets set off.
Where did all those guys come from? That was incredible. Where do you keep them in the cupboard? They just jump out with all those musical instruments.
It's just a trapdoor in the floor. They just whip out when there's a pun and they just go back in there until there's another one.
So three times she has burnt toast.
Now she's evacuated
the building, which is pretty good, but can we top that? Has your burnt toast been more powerful than Harriet's? What have you evacuated? It doesn't have to be 15 floors, because it probably wasn't 15 floors. I mean, it might have just been, I can't imagine. Yeah.
That's a pretty extreme case of burnt toast.
But I'd like to know the places you evacuated, and also at the actual timing. When has the timing been inopportune? So it could have been, for instance, a wedding. You know, that going through vows would be pretty bad.
Who's making toast when somebody's at an altar doing their vows?
Not even a caterer is making toast.
The ring bearer is just out the back in the kitchen of the church just going, oh, not on for another 3 minutes. Oh. I'm just going to have some peanut butter toast.
Oh, yeah, that's good. 131060, give us a call. I mean, it's out there, but what did your burnt toast do? Well, take your calls.
We'll get your calls next.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Julesy, so good to have you here, mate. Oh,
lucky I could get in here past all the fire engines. yesterday, Harriet has burnt toast in the building and evacuated the entire floor and possibly more floors underneath it. It was hard to tell. I mean, everyone was screaming.
We're assuming that the entire building was evacuated.
Everyone was screaming and yelling. There were people jumping out windows. It was a bit over the top, but we do work in radio, and so we are far more dramatic than the normal office block. So this is the third time that Harriet's done it. You would think after the first or second time you'd turn the knob down, not too hard.
Or she would stop eating carbs.
As an owner of a gym, you may as well plug it right now. If you do eat carbs, there's a really
do
easy...
it before 2 p.m., guys. Make sure they're whole grains.
So keeps regular. So we're asking the question, 131060, what did your burnt toast do? How powerful was your burnt toast? These are questions that obviously on a Saturday morning you wake up asking, and we're here to deliver an answer for you.
100%. We've got Kathleen on 131060. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're great, babe. What did your burnt toast do?
I actually evacuated a hotel, whole hotel.
Unreal.
An entire hotel.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So what time of the day was it?
Early in the morning. I'll probably say 8:30 in the morning.
8:30. So gotcha. So a few people sleeping in. Was it a weekend, weekday?
I believe it was a weekday.
Okay, weekday, all right.
Kathleen, so did you have like a little toaster in your hotel room?
I actually work at the hotel, so after my paperwork, I decided to make breakfast for myself, and a little crumb caught on fire.
Wow. And then what did that crumb do? Did it just set off? It didn't set off a sprinkler, just a smoke alarm, yeah?
Just a smoke alarm, but the fire department did come to the hotel.
And they knew it was you? At what point?
They knew it was me.
How? Because you put your hand up or everyone?
No, security came down and they go, who was it? I'm like, it was me.
It is me. You may as well own up in that situation.
Exactly.
You got peanut butter all over your face. Awesome. Thank you, Kathleen. We've got Sherry on the line. Sherry, how powerful was your burnt toast?
It wasn't my toast. It was a security guard that worked in my shopping centre.
Yep.
He burnt his garlic bread in one of those little mini ovens. The whole shopping centre got evacuated. The fire brigade was called and the shopping centre got in the $1,000 bill from the fire brigade.
Yeah, you get fined.
Yeah.
He got fired.
He got fired over his garlic bread. Just trying to have lunch.
What? But who's having garlic bread?
Exactly. Who's doing BYO garlic bread from home?
He was using the oven in Maya.
Yeah, he had like one of those little portable ones and yeah, he left it and yeah.
Wow.
I never saw him again.
There is so... There's,
sorry.
And that's his legacy. They still talk about him at that shopping centre. Oh, thank you so much, Sherry.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sarah's on the line. What about you, Sarah? Have you had something as powerful as that happen?
Not quite to the evacuation point, but I started the procedures at an aquarium in the CBD.
You... What do you mean you started the procedures? You went and got the fire warden hat?
No, I ended up standing there with this sorted out torso while the actual fire warden of the building and the fire department rocked up. I'm standing there with this smoking toaster in my hand.
This smoking toaster in my hand. So,
now, you said it short-circuited?
I think so, because my toast was still bread, so I'm assuming so.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, I'm so glad we got to the bottom of that.
Oh, man, that's just... Hey, Australia, stay safe.
Yeah, stay safe, guys. We don't want another serial offender.
I'm going to get out on that.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Jules Lund is filling in for Dan this weekend. Julesy, I saw something in the streets, because I'm so straight. No, I saw something in the street yesterday.
I can see that by your pants.
Oh, man. These pants are so distressed. They pretty much don't exist, this denim
it's
that I've got
incredible.
Going on here.
Incredible. If your Thanks. Denim is, you've got more holes than denim, for a
yeah,
start.
Yeah, I do. I really do.
Yeah. One bad move and they'll turn into shorts. They'll just drop around your ankles.
Or maybe one good move.
Hey.
Look at it. Hey. No, so yesterday I was just, so I you know about this about me, Jules, I own a gym. It's in Avalon.
Yeah, what's the name?
I just knew, it's an F45. It's a franchise.
Gotcha.
And I go there most days and I work out there. And so yesterday after I finished my workout.
Humble brag.
Oh, I do.
Do you work out most days?
Yeah, totally.
That's unreal.
Don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, and I just after a triathlon. Sometimes I just popped in this morning, like after I did a 10K walk.
I don't know if you're joking or
not. No, I am joking. That's pretty impressive to do most days. Most days.
Like you're a fit person.
I
like
am.
You've had personal trainers in
so
the
what would
past
you say? Yeah. So what would you say is most days? Like 5 days you would go to the gym?
Totally.
What?
Yeah, maybe 6. I have one day off, like
that's
a rest
incredible.
Day.
That's not normal, Maz. Well done. Well
I just
done.
Go and sit there and watch the class happen. I don't do anything.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. No, I did a workout yesterday. And as I left the gym, I was like, oh, I'll just whip over the road, grab a little coffee, and then I'll go home. Yep. And as I was walking
grab
the road,
a little cupcake and a muffin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll just undo all
yeah,
of that.
I'm just
going
to grab a milkshake.
So I'm walking across the street and I just saw sort of in my upper peripheral, if that's a thing. Mm. I'm like, man, there's those blasted sneakers hanging from that power line. What is that all about? And I don't know, my brain went into this really strange spiral of thoughts and I was like, there are sneakers hanging up over a power line. Now, I swear the urban myth around that is it means that there's a drug lab nearby.
A drug lab near your gym?
That's what I think. Like, that was the first thought that came into mind. I'm like, isn't that what that means? And then
I
was like, where did I get that from? Probably the movies. Like, probably gangster movies because I watch those all the time.
No, gangster movies, it meant something completely different.
What did it mean? Are you allowed to say on the radio? Is it broadcastable?
Yeah.
I did just say drug lab, so
yeah.
I think everything's pretty much open now.
I did a tour through Compton in LA.
Your
It was the owner of the backpacker in California, so it was a beautiful beach. He's like, hey, give me like $80 and I'll drive you through the most dangerous part
As in
of town.
South Central LA.
Yeah.
That's like the gnarliest part of Los Angeles.
And he goes, yeah, I'll drive you through. And so all these, you know, like 19-year-old idiots just pile into this bus.
Oh, God.
And he drove us through. And basically what it meant there, because they were everywhere in different streets, was a drive-by and someone was killed there. So
Stop it!
When they're shot, they take their, well, I don't know who's drive-by and then going, now, before I drive off, I'm going to grab their sneakers, tie them together, which is not bloody easy. Do you tie both, like the four together? Do you tie, you know, and throw them up over the power lines? And then, you know, the cops are coming, they're going, oh, bloody hell, it's not sticking.
So you're saying that a drive-by happened near my gym?
No, not in Australia. Hey, if you're not making money out of that gym, you've picked the wrong hood. There is no way in Australia people are getting shot. They're thrown over. So you're right. There's got to be another reason.
I was under the impression that it was some sort of drug-related thing, which is terrible that was the first thought in my brain. But I was like, there are sneakers hanging over a power line. I think that's what it means. And you're saying that in the US, it means something completely different.
But here it's got to mean something else, because I don't think we have that many drug labs. And also, if you're an cop, like a narcotics detective, it'd be pretty easy to find the drug labs, wouldn't it?
100%.
If you're going and getting a soy latte and finding it, I mean...
Almond milk, mate.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That must be humiliating for both of us.
It really is.
So what is the deal? If there's another reason, 13, 10, 60, what the hell's going on with these?
I want to know. And then, you know, the other thought after the drug lab one that went into my brain, so weird. I was like, I swear my mum told me that means that a witch lives in that house. Something to do with paranormal activity, or that like witches congregate under the sneakers.
Yeah.
Like there's something witch related or witchcraft related.
Do you know why? Did you see Blair Witch 2?
No.
So the first one they had piles of sticks, and the second one it was just Adidas and Asics. Your mum's a clown, an absolute clown.
Maybe she said that just to scare me. I don't know, but that she definitely said something about sneakers over power lines and there's a witch.
Why would your mum, all I do as a father is say to my kids, don't be scared. Don't be scared. The opposite. There's no monster under the bed. Don't be frightened. Monsters won't get you. Your mum's there going, see those sneakers? You see those sneakers you see everywhere? There's witches about.
She sounded like that too when she said it. It was really
unreal. Weird. Has anyone even just witnessed someone put them up? Find out. You know, were you present? Let's find out the reasons the sneakers got on the power lines in the first place. 13, 10, 60. Why do you think they're there? And if you were actually there at the time, unless you were a witch setting up in a new hood, why were they thrown up?
Quick twist in the story, I did also notice that the sneakers did not match. What does that mean?
Oh, my Lord. There's been a drive-by on 2 one-legged men.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
I noticed something in my hometown yesterday. Sneakers. Pair of sneakers strung up over the power lines.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I swear that means there's like drugs around or something.
How'd you go? What do you mean you go, sneakers?
That's just what
if there's one thing I know about sneakers, it's that drugs are around.
I don't know. Like, it's just something I've either seen it in a movie or I've heard it as a rumour, and I swear it's like an urban myth. If you see sneakers strung up over a power line, it means something. Like, and I think it's to do
with... I do remember that. No, it's not a drug lab. I think that's where a guy would be in a car, or that's where that's a meeting spot. Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a meeting spot because otherwise cops would just hang around.
That's like the get down.
You're so not straight.
What do you mean? That is so straight.
The get down.
That's the get down.
Where they chase. Do they chase? Are they chasing the dragon? Are they chasing the H? Is that the get down? Is that a terminology? But I don't think in this country necessarily it means what it does in America, because in America, as I was saying, we were told that's where someone was shot and then they would grab their sneakers and throw it over the power lines. And I don't think that's happening enough in Australia to justify why when you're going down nice streets, there's just a random pair of sneakers.
Yeah, we want to get to the bottom of this. So 13, 10, 60. We want to know if you've got any idea what's going on with the sneakers over the power line saga. Aaron has called through. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, really good. Aaron, what's going on with the sneakers on the power lines? What do you know about it?
I'm pretty sure the sneakers over the power lines means there's a drug dealer's spot or house in that street.
Okay, so we get close. I'm going to put
one down.
So
we're on the right
that.
Track.
I'm going to put
so
one down.
So you're
for that.
Saying, so where the sneakers are over the power lines, that house could be a possible spot. I don't know if we should be broadcasting.
I tell you what, if there was sneakers out the front of my house, I would be up with a ladder, a safety ladder.
Cutting those down immediately.
Safely. Cam's on the line. What about you, Cam? So we've got one just because we're going to get to the bottom of this. At the end of this, you and I can decide what we think is probably, you know, most likely. Cam, what about you? What's the sneakers on the power lines?
Yeah, mate, for me, I'm a pretty big documentary buff. I watch a lot of Louis Theroux and... Yep.
I'm glad you said documentary buff.
Yep.
Ross Kemp, and they all believe that shoes over the power line is definitely related to gun violence.
Right. In America, though, right?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, Louis Theroux, he's from the UK, but you're saying he's done a lot of really interesting documentaries about US cults and interesting pop culture twists.
And I don't know if you happen to notice what colour the shoes were, because they also go down the lines of saying that they can also be saying there are drug dealers in the area. Green shoes mean they're open. Red shoes means they're closed for business.
Hang on, they can't.
Hang on a second,
it's
Cameron.
It's not a light switch.
Cameron.
Do you realise how hard that is trying to get the red ones down to say, God, I'm trying to get open at 9 a.m. in the morning.
That's ridiculous.
That you, Cameron.
Maybe the colours mean what type of drugs you can get, though, because the green ones could mean, you know, perhaps.
Yeah. So, Cam, can I just ask one last question? You're a pretty smart guy and you're a documentary buff. You can understand the irrationality around green and red sneakers.
I don't think the colours has anything to do with it.
No, I don't think anyone's swapping them. Don't forget, they're drugs. I mean, they're traffickers. They're not that clever. All right, Tim's on the line. What about you, Tim? What do you think it is? We've got one for gun violence and sort of, you know, two votes for the other, which is some sort of drug-related thing. But maybe just people are just, there's no reason. They're just throwing them up. What do you reckon, Tim?
No, it's for drug dealers in that street.
Oh, man.
Why did you bring this up, Maz?
I didn't want this to be the right answer. I wanted it to be the witches one. And I thought then we could talk about witches and witchcraft, and that's interesting.
God, I think we need to cut some of these down.
Guys, it means also that somebody in the street that my gym is on is like dealing drugs.
Hey, Maz, I've just had a better idea. Let's go down to Woolies, buy a whole heap of sneakers and go out the front of every cop shop in Australia and throw them up.
You're waking up with Dan and Maz Weekends.
Everything lights up, makes you want to shout. Talk about happiness, that's what we're talking about.
Morning, legends. It's Dan and Maz Weekends. Jules Lund sitting in for Dan for the weekend.
It's the beginning of the transition. It's going to be Jules and Maz. Jules and Maz lighting up. This is going to be great. Seriously.
Oh, you've been
slowly, Dan just gets shifted out. You sure you don't have a Bucks party this weekend? You could go away. What are you doing next Sunday? Because and then all of a sudden it's us, little sister, together at last.
You're a planner. He's definitely a planner. We do have a lot of fun planned for the next hour of Dan and Maz Weekends. Also, though, there is a major confrontation happening at 8:30 a.m. on this show.
Between who?
Between you, Jules Lund, and me.
You know I'm 6'3" and you're 3'5".
Hey, whoa.
You sure you want to pick a five?
I am 5'2½". Thank you very much.
Are you standing up right now? Because I can't tell. Are you
there
on a kiddie stool? All right.
There it is. It's happening at 8:30. It's serious. This is actually a serious confrontation. It's something I've been upset with you for about 12 years.
Oh, I'm glad you didn't sit on it.
I was waiting for the opportune moment to bring it up. And on national radio, I feel it's a great platform.
Yep.
That's happening at
8:30.
So stick around for that, team.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Jules Lund is filling in for Dan for the weekend. Julesy, are you a fan of the TV show The Bachelor?
Absolutely. I won't lie to you. I didn't miss 1 second of the first few seasons, and then I sort of dropped off the last one. But regret
you know,
it now.
You know the concept of the show.
No, how does it work?
Well,
it's not complicated, is it?
One person tries to find true love through the format of reality TV show.
Yeah, it's it's pretty sad to think that 24 girls are shattered, but one has a good time.
Well, here's the thing, right? So we know The Bachelor, it wrapped up on Thursday night. And look, I haven't sort of tapped into this season of Batch, but I'm across it because of Twitter and outrage, which is a winning combination.
Yeah.
People were not happy about his choice in Alex. Here is the moment everyone's freaking out about.
Yeah, coming down this adventure, my family gave me some advice. And that advice was to follow my heart. And Nikki, I really hope you understand. But my heart is with Alex.
No! That's what Australia was screaming at the TV when that moment went down. Like, apparently, look, I'm not that invested in the show, so I'm just like, you know what? If Richie loves Alex, good, go have a great life together. Like, don't really care. But people do care, and 2 days later, people still care. They're still bringing it up. They're still angry on Twitter. They're still doing Facebook rants. People have said that they will never watch TV shows ever again in the history of their lives.
In fact, I was driving here and there was 10 TVs on the side of the road. Just everyone just throwing this Samsung smart TVs. I've invested $3,000, but one bad, you know, you can just change the channel.
Some people have just said, I'm only ever watching Netflix now.
Wow.
This is bull crap. I mean, it's insane. Like, the outrage is next level.
And to be honest, we want to move on from this thing, but the audience is not letting us. I mean, the viewers are angry. I mean, we just put it on your Dan and Maz Facebook page and it just lit up. People are still furious.
So this is what we want to focus on this morning, team. Get your head in the game. It's been 48 hours since Richie picked Alex and people are still outraged at the ending of that TV show, which nobody had any control over because it's Richie's heart, okay? But is there a TV show that you are just still upset about how it ended?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe this is something from maybe last year or last season or a decade ago and you're not over the moment. Like, is there a moment in TV history, the way a show ended, and you're just like, no, that is not what I signed up for. How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah.
Wasn't that a piece of crap ending? And I'm not going to spoil it. If you haven't watched the ending of How I Met Your Mother, I'm not going to ruin it for you. But I, along with a lot of people on our Facebook, agree that that ending was not amazing.
I mean, it's the investment of time. That's the problem. Like, it's the investment of time for poor old Nikki on The Bachelor. Literally, she wasted weeks of her life. And then
sign up for it.
Yeah, I know. And there was a high likelihood that she'd be rejected. I mean, one versus two. But, you know, when you invest that time, I remember it hurt me 20 years ago. I was watching a very popular film of that decade. Well, it wasn't, but it's weird.
Wait, are we talking like 80s or 90s?
I think this is 80s. It stayed with me. This just shows you the absolute, like, the potency.
How old you are.
No, the potency of disappointment. Gorillas in the Mist.
Oh, yeah, that's 80s.
Gorillas in the Mist. Kids, Google it. Sigourney Weaver.
It's an amazing movie.
She, at the end, and I know it's a spoiler alert, but I feel confident in being able to do it now.
It's been 20 years, mate. You should be okay.
So there was poachers getting all these gorillas, and in the end, the poachers killed Sigourney Weaver. And at the end of the film, I was so deflated that I said, I'm not watching the sequel. Lucky there wasn't one. And I'm still waiting to prove my point that even if there was one, I am going to boycott Gorillas in the Mist 2.
Been? Like, gorillas on the high seas and they all like hijack a pirate ship or something?
I don't know. I mean, they killed most of them, so it'd be gorilla in the mist.
Yeah. So you've been harbouring this anger towards the ending of Gorillas in the Mist for 2 decades.
Yeah, and to be honest, imagine what people are feeling more fresh. I mean, 131060, give us a call. What is that TV show or movie ending that you want to vent about? And there's some crackers on the Facebook page. I mean, this one is hilarious. I've never even heard of this film, but this is one of the greatest. So someone's just written, so annoyed that Flash Forward, can't remember Flash Forward, ended with a cliffhanger that wasn't, and then it wasn't renewed.
So, oh, that's amazing.
I went online to hear, this is literally the synopsis. Residents of Los Angeles go about their day unaware that a mysterious event is about to change their lives. Not only were the residents unaware of what that mysterious event was, so were the viewers. No one found out. They just strung them along and then it wasn't renewed. That's unreal.
Okay, 131060, give us a call. We want to know what TV moment you want to vent about because you're still upset about it. Or you can leave a comment on our Facebook page. Kitty has said, why did Derek have to die? Kaz has agreed, yes, all downhill from here. Maddie has agreed again, completely agree. Guys, who's Derek? You haven't let us know the TV show.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Everyone is still outraged at Richie's decision to choose his true heart's desire and pick Alex.
Yeah, coming down this adventure, my family gave me some advice. And that advice was to follow my heart. And Nikki, I really hope you understand. But my heart is with Alex.
It was just one of those moments. People are angry about that.
It's actually taken the viewers longer to get over it than Nikki. I mean, Nikki's already forgotten about it, but the viewers are still just heartbroken.
It's so true. It's like everyone just wants to keep talking about it too. We want to know on 131060, is there a TV show moment that you are still really upset about? Have a vent about it on the show. Ryan has called up. Hello.
Hey, how we doing?
Great, great.
Good. Are you okay, mate? Is there a TV moment that you're not okay about?
I'm actually still heartbroken. It's been a solid 13 years since it's happened.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
It's a safe space.
My good friend, Shannon Knoll, got robbed.
He got robbed.
Broad daylight.
I don't know. I mean,
you know,
it was a national robbery. He's a national treasure.
Yeah.
Oh, there was an amazing meme flying around the internet yesterday because Osher.
It's not a meme. It's true.
Osher is the common denominator in both of those robberies. Oh. If you think about Shannon and Nikki. Like, he was there for both of those moments.
What was the meme?
It literally is a picture of Shannon Knoll devastated that he didn't win Idol, a picture of Nikki devastated that she didn't win The Bachelor's Heart, and Osher's face in the middle.
That's unreal. We got Marnie on the line. Marnie, you got a TV show ending or a movie ending or a moment that you just gutted about still?
I do. I reckon it's been almost 10 years and I'm still trying to recover from the ending of The Hills, which I think was probably like an MTV. It was the Lauren Conrad reality show.
Yeah, yeah. No, the Hills was dramality. Drama and reality.
Wow.
And I'm still not over the ending where they made out like... They, at the very end of it, they sort of, like, the cameras rolled around and you saw that the whole thing was set up.
I remember because the whole time...
Years into the show.
You mean those girls and guys knew that there was a camera on them? You're kidding me. They would have...
I do remember that because the whole time during The Hills, they're like, no, these are the real lives of these people. Yes. Like, this is legit what goes on, right? And they signed up for us to film it and make a show about it. And then at the very end, Marnie, I totally remember the moment. Like, the camera just goes up and you're like, oh, they're all at Universal Studios.
Like, scripts and the backdrops. I'm
Googling that. That is amazing.
It was amazing.
I got it mixed up with The OC, so I was really looking forward to wanting them dying.
Well, Marissa does, like,
wow.
She did. Yeah, no, the OC was definitely not real, But then the Hills was, that's how they pitched it. They're like, no, 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 this is legit real. This is what happens. But then it was all
unreal.
Just made up.
That's
Hannah,
incredible.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Oh, are you okay?
Get the music.
Mate?
Get the music on. God, help. Support these people. It's a safe space, Hannah.
A therapy session.
Yeah. You know, I struggled even calling up. It's been really hard. It's been about 5 years.
Hannah, I'm really proud of you for taking this step.
Yeah.
I'm actually nearly tearing up. So, I don't know if any of you guys have seen it, but the show Dexter,
I've seen a bit of Dexter.
The ending was just horrible.
Okay, I got bored after season two. I was like, I'm done.
I pulled out of Dexter too. So what happened? Because there's a lot of endings. I mean, everyone's still gutted about Lost, but at least it wrapped up. What happened in Dexter?
Well, it didn't kind of wrap up. At the end of the day, I'm not going to give too much away. I know it's been 5 years now, but...
No, I think it's safe.
Yeah.
I think you've got the right.
Dexter basically kind of leaves the country... and grows a beard and chops wood. That's pretty much what he does. He leaves his child.
Hannah, hang on. Isn't that a really good place for a serial killer to end up?
No, but he leaves his kid, you know, he finishes everything up, and I wanted him to be happy.
He would have been happy. He's grown a beard. That's good. People with beards are generally happier. They don't have to do all that face maintenance.
He's hiding from the world, Maz. Seriously.
Brad, I don't know what people are expecting from Dexter.
I don't know. I don't know where you want to be left. That's the hard part as a writer. Where do you leave everyone? Because we
shootout.
Yes. Yes.
That's always, you know what I mean? You can't argue with a shootout.
Yeah, Brad's on the line. What about you, Brad? Big TV moment, movie moment that you're disappointed about?
Yeah, look, good morning, guys. I've sort of, you know, I've listened to the other guys speaking and I really feel their pain, but you guys are giving me sort of PTSD this morning, bringing up these memories.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate.
It's all right. I'll be fine, I think. The ending to The Sopranos.
I couldn't get through it. It was after about the 15th season. So what happened in the end that disappointed you?
So this is a massive spoiler if you haven't seen it, you have not seen the ending of Sopranos.
Like, I don't, to be honest, I think I'm saving a few people from the disappointment anyway.
That's good. That's good.
You finish off with a completely black screen.
I read about this, so I haven't watched The Sopranos. I'll get to it one day.
Awesome.
But I know how it ends because everyone was like, it just goes to like ants in a snowstorm.
That's it. And it's done. And you sort of, I would hate to think how many people flip their TVs over just thinking this is ridiculous. Where are you leaving me, basically? So it was just the worst. Like, you could not get any worse.
Is it the worst?
Is it the worst or is it the best, Brad? I mean, you're still talking about it, buddy.
Angrily.
It's so much rage. Like, I just...
But what about, Brad, what about all those people that were invested in Prison Break? You spent 4 years, 4 years going through the prison escapades, trying to get Michael out of there, 4 years, and then... they just kill him. What a waste of time. Get him to freedom. Get him to freedom. Get him to freedom.
Dead.
Kill him.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Jules Lund filling in for Dan DeBoofa. I promised a confrontation just after 8:30 on the show, and it's happening right now. Jules, are you nervous?
I'm more nervous about the fact that and the way that you say confrontation.
Confrontation. Sorry. nervous saying the word.
Confrontation.
It's inspired by space as well. Huh. Yeah, I know. How cool's that?
How are you going to confront me with something that happened in space?
Oh, you wait, mate. You just wait. This is going to blow your mind. So did you know that they've discovered the world's second largest meteorite? It was found in Argentina.
Is that worthy of an announcement? Isn't it only an announcement when it's the biggest?
Well, it's still pretty big. It's 30 tons. It's a 30-ton rock. It's 30 rock. That's legit. Really is. 100%.
Isn't pretty much every rock would have come from outer space at some point?
Yeah, they reckon it arrived here about 4,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So, in some random meteor shower. They've only just dug it up. And it is the world's second largest meteorite. Yes, and usually people do not pay attention to things or people that come second.
Yeah, we just talked about Shannon Knoll before.
Yes. He did come second in Australian Idol all those years ago. And I thought, do you know what? Maybe it's time we shone a spotlight on those people that have fallen short of the glory of gold, that have come second in something. Like maybe you are second best at something.
Don't give them a voice. Don't give those people a voice.
I think that deserves a little bit of credit.
I think not only does that meteorite not deserve to have any voice, but nor does anyone who rings up and goes, I was second best. It's you had your chance. You had your one shot and you blew it.
I would like to get the ball rolling with this story from my personal life. I don't know what year it was actually, but it was definitely over a decade ago. And I entered a search for a television host on ESPN to host the X Games. And the job, I mean, it was like the dream job. You get to fly around the world. You get to go to all the X Games. You get to be a TV reporter. It honestly ticked all of the boxes for something that I wanted to do with my life. Who got that job, Jules? Who actually got that job?
The better candidate.
Jules Lund was awarded that job, and I was told by the producer that it came down to me and this clown called Jules Lund, and they went with Jules Lund.
And they've never looked back.
I was second best!
I know, do you know
and
what?
And I've never been able to bring it up with you because then your star rose. I mean, you just went to the heights and heights of dizzying fame, and you did all these amazing things, and then you were famous, and then you were on Getaway, and then you
did a radio show, and then I got axed, and you took it. Then you took my breakfast show. You replaced me. And then you had your own show, and now I'm here supporting your bloody show. Here I am filling in on my Saturday morning, helping you out.
So it all really works out in the wash when you look at it. I mean, the universe has a plan. But I did come second. I was second best. And I would love to know if you're second best at anything, not necessarily, you know, being the candidate for a really awesome job.
Oh, it's amazing. Brazil, Philadelphia, Kuala Lumpur.
Stop it.
Oh, it's an incredible trip. You should have seen the freaking fly points
Shut
I built up.
Up.
Wow, that was amazing. And you really only get those opportunities once. And if you blow it, I just don't come back around again.
Yeah, I know. Well, we do have a show to do tomorrow, but just watch yourself, mate.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
We've had the confrontation that I said we were going to have, and I said the word correctly that time, so.
No, it's confrontation. You just.
Confrontation.
Confrontation, just confrontation.
Confrontation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Jules stole my job. So,
and then years later, only last year.
And then I stole yours.
You stole mine.
I got you back. No, we both auditioned to be the roving reporter for the X Games on the ESPN channel about a decade or so ago. And out of, did you know this, Jules, 4,000 applicants?
Wow.
There were 4,000 applicants for that job, and it came down to Maz Compton and Jules Lund got the gig.
Yeah, I bleached my hair and just pipped her at the post. By the way, Maz, nice try. 15 years ago.
Oh! Well, I was only very young.
Yeah, you were 22 at the time from memory.
Oh, no, I was not. I was definitely a minor.
All right, so we're asking the question, what were you second best at? I mean, Maz seems to think those who are second best needs to have their moment in the light,
they
in the spotlight.
They deserve their moment in the spotlight.
I said they blow their moment. They've absolutely blown it. Just move on.
Jen, I want to give you a moment of glory. What are you second best at, Jen?
So when I was 16, MTV was doing those traveling around the U.S., getting, their top 10 models from all around the U.S.
Ooh.
And when they came to the Pacific Northwest, which is like Northern California, Oregon, Washington, there was 5,000 girls who auditioned. That turned down to 25, which turned down to 10, and that turned out to me being second best.
So.
Wow. Oh, so you're the second hottest chick in Northern California.
all of Northwest America, actually.
Jen, you're still hot.
Well,
yeah, well, thanks. You know, their reasoning was my butt was too big. But this was just on the cusp of Jennifer Lopez. So, like, given me another year, I would have been the winner for sure.
Jen, yeah, but then you wouldn't be calling up the radio station.
It's true.
Yeah, true. Jen, I'd probably be making my millions.
Jen, I think it's time for you to go home now and confront it.
Yeah,
you,
I know.
You literally fled the country because you came second best. It's time for you to confront that and just go back, you know, reunite with your family and friends and just make peace with it.
I feel like Jen, I think she feels a lot better now.
Yeah.
We've got time for Harmony very quickly. Harmony.
Hello.
What are you second best at?
I'm second best at eyebrow waxing.
Now, well, there's definitely a niche. How are you second best at eyebrow waxing? Is there like some sort of national competition for this skill?
Oh, no. I'm a beauty therapist and my best friend works with me. She's number one best. They raised her prices and everything.
Raised her prices. So tell me, what is she getting for eyebrows?
$30 to eyebrow wax with Claire, and it's $20 to eyebrow wax with Claire. So I'm second best.
That's significant.
Well, keep practicing. Practice makes perfect. I think that's the lesson there.
That is.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Jules Alan filling in for Dan DeBooth for the whole weekend. Julesy, thanks so much for being here today, mate.
Whole weekend?
Yeah, you got to come back tomorrow, 7 a.m. we start. Chop.
I'm going to the snow this arvo.
No, you're not, mate. See you bright and early.
Okay, I'll make some calls.
You better bring your A game.
I will. You better believe it. I mean, if I'm going to take over Dan for good, I got to put in a good show.
We'll see you guys tomorrow morning from 7 a.m. Show lives online at danandmaz.com. Enjoy your Saturday. We'll catch you tomorrow morning.
Ciao.
Dan and Maz Weekends.